May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our God, our strength, and our Redeemer.
Amen.
Please be seated. As we think about these lessons, it's kind of interesting because it's stuck right between Ascension Day, which was Thursday, and Pentecost, which is this next Sunday, and we hear a little bit of both inside of it. And what kind of got my imagination is the idea of tangible. As human beings, we need tangible things to hold on to and grasp. And God knows this. Let's think about it for just a minute. The apostles, the prophets in the Old Testament, the Bible, actual worship and community with each other. How about the prayer book and the sacraments? All of the tangible things that God gives us, it helps us to understand and to relate to God, to His will, to His expectations, what He desires from us, but also what He wants to give us, what we can expect from Him. But the two sacraments that Jesus Himself commands us to do, let's think about that. Baptism. What are the tangible things in baptism? Well, water. We see it right off the bat. Water and oil, which we all together, and I'm kind of like the instrument, but we seal whoever is baptized with oil by the power of the Holy Spirit, and that person is marked as Christ's own forever. Nothing can take that away. And then how about Holy Communion? What's tangible about that? It was like a meal. We actually get bread and wine, and we do it together. That's Jesus' body and blood that we have in us. So Jesus Christ, God the Father and the Holy Spirit, dwells within us. Even Ascension Day, that too is tangible. And it helped the apostles, especially then, to understand, to learn, and to cope with all that was going on in their week. They didn't have it easy either. Everything that God has done, He did for them, but for all people, for us, for you and me. Everything was accomplished for all people and for you and me. And Jesus did not leave the apostles or us comfortless as we pray in our call today. Jesus gave them and Jesus gives us His Holy Spirit. And it's interesting because Jesus tells them, He said, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes before you. And Jesus tells them, He says, go to Jerusalem and wait. And they did. We'll learn a little bit more about that next week. But first, before they left, they had a little bit of nudging. What happens? He says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. But there's a purpose there. You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and all the ends of the earth. And then he rises back up into heaven. And then what happens next? They kind of stood there, and I guess so would I, and maybe some of all of us might, just kind of staring, thinking, oh my goodness, what just happened? So what happens? The two men in white robes, or the two angels, say, well, men of Galilee, what are you doing just standing there? Basically, they're telling them, Jesus is going to come back, don't be worried, just get going. Obey the Lord. And that's exactly what they did. They obeyed Him. With obedience comes trust, faith, relationship, joy, a feeling of safety, a feeling of being protected. Because I don't know about you, but there's not a week or a month that goes by that there's not a bad day, sometimes more than one in a row. Sometimes people can have a bad year. So we need the presence of Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit inside of us. Because the Holy Spirit also protects us, teaches us, guides us, comforts us, encourages us. And we learn about Jesus. forgiveness when we fail him. And we do get power. Power to serve our God and power to love him and one another. Power from the Holy Spirit that was given to us, but with a purpose. We are to continue Jesus' ministry of reconciliation for ourselves, our families, our community, and the world. We are to help. We are to bring all people back to worshiping God. Maybe not just here, but anywhere. As long as people know that Jesus is our Savior and our Lord, and he's there for us when we turn to him and when we need him. I know for me, when I have a bad day, I always say, thank you, God, for being with me, because I know that you have power to walk with me, to guide me, to protect me, and to take away my problems. So we leave them with the Lord. We are also given the Holy Spirit so we can have joy and be the example of Christ to others, bringing in a gentle way excitement about God, his joy, his love, and his forgiveness. When we have the Holy Spirit in us, and we do, each and every one of us here, we are to use the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit can help, but we are to be willing to act. Remember what the first lesson was called, the book of Acts? That's the apostles. They had action, and that's why we receive the Holy Spirit. So we too have the power to act in Jesus' name. And like the apostles, we are to center on our Lord. Jesus is to be our center, our goal, and we are to continue to devote ourselves to prayer, worshiping together, Holy Communion, continued learning, and fellowship. Remember what our baptismal covenant said, or what we promised to God? The question is, will you continue in the apostles' teaching and fellowship? Will you continue in the breaking of the bread and in prayers? And we always say, we will. So let's say it again, we will. Okay, that's really good. I'd like to do is end with a prayer that is a prayer of self-dedication, and I love this prayer. If you want to read along with me and pray it together, it's in our Book of Common Prayer on the bottom of page 832. Page 832. And it's prayer number 61. It kind of gets a little difficult. You can read it in the contemporary version or the traditional version. God will hear all of us. Almighty and eternal God, so draw our hearts to you. So guide our minds, so fill our imaginations, so control our wills, that we may be wholly yours, utterly dedicated to you, and then use us, we pray, as you will, and always to your glory and the welfare of your people, through Jesus, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.